Good morning. So it's a bit of a different schedule this week because I thought I'd do a special episode for my birthday, which is today. So this week we have Maria interviewing me a couple of months ago. Well, a little while ago now. I helped Maria with her PhD, so she asked me some questions and I did post about it, the written version, but this is the audio version, so enjoy and keep on listening because I have a special something announced at the end of this episode.
Yes, now it's recording. So hi Emily, thank you again for being available for this interview. And I want to start with the question, why did you decide to create the podcast Turner Syndrome Talk and Tea?
So I created it because I wanted more awareness on Turner Syndrome because it's not that well known anywhere. More places, more so than others. But generally, it's not that well known. And I wanted to create it because I just wanted to feel less alone. Not that I had an issue with that, but it's nice to talk to people. And then I thought this might have been what I would have loved when I was younger, like maybe teenager years. So yeah.
That's great. And what are the objectives of your podcast?
Create more awareness. Let people have an insight into every day of Turner's, because we get a lot of medical stuff, which is fine because it does that, like it's part of that. But you don't get much real life everyday stuff that you could plan for maybe.
Yes, and this is one thing that I believe is the most fantastic about your podcast is the opportunity to hear other people's stories and like not just feel less alone, but get out of the biological stuff or the magical stuff. What do you think about that?
So could you elaborate on that?
Yes. Do you think that it is important to not just talk about the medical stuff, but the life with Turner syndrome, the quality of life, and other things, things that we do besides Turner syndrome?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So like for me, I had to change my tablets when I was 16, because I was, not that I knew then, but I was quite I was quite sensitive to progesterone, which is in contraception, which they use for our hormone replacement sometimes. And then like at that age, you probably wouldn't feel like empowered to change your medication. And I was really angry all the time. Like looking back, I probably didn't show it as much as I think, but in my head I was a horrible person. So it's nice to know that it's not just you going through experiences and that you can like go against the doctor and ask for a different thing.
Oh yes, totally agree with you. And why did you decide for a podcast, not another kind of media like a YouTube channel or Instagram page? Why a podcast?
Less pressure. Less pressure to look good.
No, it's just like an informal interview. So feel free to answer what you think.
Yeah. So I mean, like less pressure isn't to look good. Like if I did YouTube, not that I wear makeup, but I would think like, would I have to wear makeup? Like the amount of times that I've done my podcast recordings with my hair up, joggers. Yeah, just less pressure, and I think it's more accessible.
Oh, yes. I don't know in England, but here in Brazil, just now we are talking more about podcasts and we are listening more to podcasts. I don't know if it is if they are common in England. Do you know?
Yeah, it's really common in England. And with a podcast, you don't have to have Wi-Fi to listen to it. Like if you've already downloaded it, and if you go on a walk or something, you can listen to it then. So you can listen to it anytime.
Yes. And what vision of Turner Syndrome do you aim to show the followers and the listeners to your podcast?
We're no different to anyone else.
Yes, I think so. Anything.
Yeah, we can do anything.
That's great. And talking about this thing about doing what we want and we can do everything, why did you decide to tell other people's stories and not just your story of Turner syndrome?
So, I mean, I might be doing a discredit to myself here, but just one story, just my story alone would be quite boring, I would feel. And it'd be maybe quite repetitive because like you'd have to dig to find things to say. And I just love listening to everyone else's story. I'll just sit there in like a trance and I forget to record. No, I've not done that, but I'm like, I worry about that because I'm just so in it that I forget, that I worry about forgetting to record.
And do you think that you learn different things about Turner syndrome listening to other people's story?
Up until now, I didn't realize, well, I didn't think about how impactful infertility would be to everyone. Like, I knew it'd be impactful to the women with Turner's and to the girls, but I didn't think of the partners. And I've had some perspective on that. Yeah. And just in general, everyday life scenarios that I didn't think would affect me, but it's affected other women.
Mm-hmm. And talking about your podcast, what are the challenges of being a host of a podcast and recording and sharing the content? What are the challenges that you face?
So, forgetting to record, that's like a massive, not massive, but it's a big thing for me to think, oh, am I recording? So I have to check while we're recording about two or three times. And I don't know if anyone noticed, but I uploaded the wrong edit of this episode like early on in the podcast series. And it's just, I've learned things now, but like naming things better so you know, like Dad Seymour unedited, Dad Seymour edited, rather than just Dad Seymour. And trying to find, like I like to make my Instagram look really aesthetically pleasing. So trying to find just content to put out there.
And what do you think about the content? What are the challenges during the interviews? Do you have any?
Sometimes I have to push for an answer, maybe. Not all the time. But especially if I don't know the person, that can be a little bit tricky. If I don't know much about them, then I can't say. If they had like, say if they haven't said about their fundraising that I know I've done, I can't say, oh, I know you did this. So that can be a little bit tricky, maybe sometimes.
Okay, yes. No problem. Okay. What role do you think communication have for patients and families with Turner syndrome?
Connection. They can see themselves in other people. Like you're never going to be alone on this earth. And everyone knows that to some degree, but it's another thing hearing about it, hearing your story from another person.
Yes. And what is the importance for families to have access and see and listen to different experiences about Turner syndrome?
So, like maybe somebody who's just about to go through their daughter's puberty could listen to an experience of somebody who's already gone through puberty, like what to look out for, things like that, maybe.
Yes. And one thing that I was thinking about now, on your podcast, you bring different perspectives, not just from patients, but also from mothers, fathers. What is the importance of listening to this whole kind of experience, not just the patients? Because sometimes we just are focused on patients' experiences or mothers' experiences, but your podcast is beyond that.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because when you think of the diagnosis, you think of just that person, and like you said, maybe the mother. But I think it's important to get all perspectives, because it affects everyone that you know, like the whole family, your brother, your sister, your father, auntie, uncle, maybe.
Yes, like I felt this, my diagnosis impacted my mother, my father. My sister is younger than me, so she wasn't born when I was diagnosed, but I agree with you, it impacts the whole family, and sometimes even grandparents, friends, and people that are close to you. Yes, I agree. And do you believe that there is a risk for disinformation about Turner syndrome through the content share multiple platforms? Because I know your podcast is supported by the society, it has pretty trustful information. But sometimes we see that many people talk about Turner syndrome and sometimes we don't have this opportunity to check. So do you believe that there is a risk for disinformation?
Oh yeah, definitely. Arlene, the CEO of the UK Sports Society, she wanted to create the society to have accurate information, because there was a lot of misinformation, she said, around that time for daughter's diagnosis. And I've said on my podcast trailer, I'm not an expert in Turner's, but I'm an expert in my personal experience. And I linked to where to go for medical stuff. But there definitely is room for miscommunication, misinformation on Turner's.
Yes. And about interaction, what strategies do you have to promote interaction with your audience?
So I do some polls on Instagram stories. I send out a little thing saying, if you'd like to be on my podcast, DM me, get in contact. And on some, I don't do it all the time, but on some episodes, I say at the end, I'd love to know your feedback, whatever it is. Because I would. Yeah.
Yes. Talking about your Instagram profile to promote your podcast, Why did you decide to combine Instagram and the podcast?
I love Instagram. I love just looking at pictures, being so nosy. And I just think it's nice to put a face to a name.
And do you believe that it is important to promote your podcast on Instagram so people can see the faces of the people that you are
interviewing? Yeah. It just brings another connection point, I would imagine, I think. So, like, if you just hear someone, then you might have an idea of what they look like in your head. But when you see their photo on Instagram, you're like, oh, okay. I mean, it's like it could be like a silly little thing, but it just puts a face to a name. And it makes you feel more, I don't know, connected to that person, even though you don't necessarily know them.
Yes, and you generally tag the person that has been interviewed. Is this any strategy that you use to promote the podcast? What other things do you use to make people more interested about your podcast?
So I did this fun thing. So in the UK, we have a building company called Turners. And it has lorries. And one day I was traveling somewhere, like on the M6. And then there was this lorry called Turners. So I took a picture of it and I photoshopped my podcast logo onto it. And I thought that was just like quite fun. Quotation marks, promotion. It wasn't really. So I just do fun little things like that. And I ask every guest if they could promote my podcast. Well, no, well, not my podcast, promote their episode if they would like to, because I'm sure their friends and family would all be really proud of whoever is on it.
And about the comments that you have on Instagram, how is the dynamic to answering them? Do you try to answer every comment?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's important. I don't get that many comments, so it's quite easy to handle at the minute. But yeah, like I said in a podcast recently, or it might be coming out in the future, I'm not too sure. There was a woman with a recently diagnosed baby, and she did not know the society. She was in the US. So I tagged the US version of this podcast on the Instagram, and then we just helped her find the right people to talk to, which was amazing.
Sorry that the next question I haven't sent you previously, but I saw that your podcast has an audience in many countries. Did you expect that when you created it?
No, but I should have, because we are in every country.
And how did you feel surprised? How was your reaction when you saw that people in other countries were listening to you?
So I was surprised. Like, I understood Europe, people in Europe listening. I didn't think people in Brazil would listen. I didn't think people in Afghanistan. I didn't think people in Bangladesh would listen, Armenia. I have family in a few parts of the world, so I knew that they would, but I didn't think not like it has.
And talking about the podcast and the Instagram together, do you think that they complete each other as communication platforms? In your case, of course.
I think they do. It helps reach a wider audience of people. So I have a Twitter and a Facebook that I've recently launched as well. So that will reach even more people. So yeah, I think so, because I think if you just did it on podcasts alone, It'd be a bit tricky. The more you put yourself out there, the more visible you are, the more people know about it.
I agree with you. Like, promoting it, it's a great strategy. And what do you believe is necessary to improve the interaction between patients and families with Turner syndrome and the access to information about TS?
Getting the right information, pointing them to the right people.
Yes. Do you believe that communication can contribute to end the stigma about Turner syndrome? Why?
Yeah. I think so.
Why? Why do you think it can help?
So, like, for instance, we had a lady who's an accountant on the podcast. Notoriously, women and girls with Turner's not good at maths. Not every single girl, but it's quite well known that we're not good at maths. And to see that there's someone who's an accountant is bloody amazing. And it just shows people that you can, just because something said you can't do it, or you might find it harder, just mean you can't do it.
Yes, and about the questions that you ask on your podcast, were they difficult to elaborate? And how was your process to establish that group of questions? And sorry, I forgot that question when I sent you, but I think it's interesting to know if you had any challenges elaborating the questions.
No, not really. So me and my dad, I go to both my mum and dad for like advice and all that. And then I said, I want to start a podcast. What questions should I do? So we like looked at it all together. And then obviously, do you have Turner's? That should be like the first question. Biggest challenge in most positive experience that comes like hand in hand, really. Once I thought of asking what's your biggest challenge, I thought, what's your most positive?
And this is one thing that I found super interesting about your podcast. You always ask what is your positive experience with Turner syndrome, because generally people just see a negative thing about it. I think it's so important to think about this positive aspect.
Yeah, and as well, I didn't want to start off with the positive. I wanted to start off with the negative and then go into the positive. So it's not the last thing that you remember or say.
Yes.
And like, it gives us a counterbalance, which is quite nice.
Yes. What? Sorry, a truck just passed in front of my house. Nice. What is the importance of true communication, establish a relation between science and Turner syndrome? Because I think this is one thing that you try to do on your podcast, talking about the society and always linking the website. But how can communication can help in this relation between science and Turner syndrome?
Between science and Turner syndrome, did you say?
Yes, communication can help to get together information about Turner syndrome and to develop research, and this to make access to the patient, to the patients. Mm-hmm. How do you think it's important?
I think it's really important. It's not relating to my podcast, but Arlene, we have a Facebook group for members of the society. And on that, she sometimes posts petitions. Like the most recent one was to make HRT more available for younger people. To stop a charge on it for over 65 or something like that. And it's really good because I can't remember if that petition did well. I should know. but like petitions, people underestimate petitions. Like with that, you can change a lot of things.
Yes, and one thing that is nice to think about is communication about racism. I don't know, I believe that you and I are close to age, and when I was diagnosed and when I was a kid, we didn't have these digital platforms, we didn't have podcasts, YouTube videos. The information about Turner syndrome was just like medical stuff. Do you feel that difference from that time up to now?
Yeah. I don't know if generally, but definitely within the society, like, and especially like on social media, because of the algorithm. So, you know, you follow a certain person and it has like Turner syndrome or butterfly in it, and then it suggests more people to follow and to talk to. So that's quite nice. And I think it's getting more well known, which is good.
Talking about the algorithm, like I found your podcast exactly like this. It was like a suggestion on my Instagram. It was a suggestion on my Instagram page because I follow people with Turner syndrome and I follow societies around the world, and like the page of your podcast was a suggestion, so that's how I found. Do you think that in this case the algorithm can help to establish a network with people?
Oh, definitely. Because I was back in the early days of like starting all this, I was like researching loads of YouTube videos on Instagram. And then really, really simply, they just said, have a keyword that you want people to recognize you by. So my Instagram handle is the show name. And then my, I don't know what you call it, but my other name is Emily Turner Syndrome Podcast, which, yeah, just really simple, but really effective, because if you type in one word, like it was basing it on like coaches and business mentors and that, if you type in a certain word, your name will still come up. So if you typed in Turner's, my name should still come up because it has Turner in both names.
Yes.
So I do think it's, yeah.
And all this kind of stuff you were learning during the process of creating your podcast, or did you make some research before you start your podcast?
I should have, but it was mostly like within the first couple of months after launching it. But I should have researched it before and done like a proper launch and yeah, but hey ho.
Living and learning.
Yeah, definitely.
And did your perception about Turner syndrome change it through the experience with the podcast?
Not really. It just cemented the idea that we're all bloody brilliant.
Yes,
the stuff that we have to go through.
And about the people that talk on your podcast, some people get in touch with you, but do you also invite some people to be on your podcast?
Yeah, so if I know I want a particular, or if I can think of someone that I know from the society, then I'll invite them, but don't wait to be invited to want to be on. Just get in contact. Because I have Hayley. She's on the support society. She's like my go-to for like recommending who I should have on. Because I don't know every single person in the society. And there are so many people with Turners who aren't in the society as well.
Yes. Oh, a good, probably Probably not. Our interview will just be published after you announce the partnership between our podcast and the society. So mm-hmm. this is my next question is mm-hmm. how is important for like a huge organization as a society to support this, not just the podcast, but people like you that create things to raise awareness about mm-hmm. the syndrome. Do you think it's important?
Yeah, I think it's important because it's coming from a different experience. I think so.
Okay. And I think this is the last question that I have here. How can communication and the life stories of people with Turner syndrome or other rare diseases, they can help each other? Like, how can communication can help these people with rare diseases?
Just talking in general helps, doesn't it? Just being open and honest. Well, as honest as you want, but just being open and talking, like if you're struggling, maybe you didn't think you were struggling, but maybe hearing someone else that's struggling with the infertility has made you think, yeah, I know I'm struggling now. I can like honor that. Like I'm hearing more about it and that's I did really badly. But maybe like listening to other people's experiences made you realize that you were struggling when you necessarily maybe wouldn't have realized without it.
Yes. Oh, and I forgot one question. Sorry.
Don't worry.
And about the process of recording an episode, how is the process after you get in touch with the person or the person get in touch with you?
Mm-hmm. So I record in an app called Anchor. It's really easy, really easy. And then I used to send it to a person who professionally edited it, but that was quite expensive. So I found a free website called Orphonic that did that, which is really good. And then I send the episode to them in advance if they want to listen to it. Because sometimes, like for me, I know in my first episode of my podcast, I couldn't remember what I said. And I listened to it back and I thought, thank God I could listen to it back.
Yes, yeah, that's great. Oh, and one thing that is a question. Before every episode, you have an introduction. Is this something that you planned on doing on your podcast, or you felt the need to do it before the interview on your episode?
I didn't feel the need to, but it's just nice. And like the episode is like the filling of the sandwich, and then the intro and outro is like the bread. It just cements it, really, I think.
Yes, and I believe this was my last question, Emily. Thank you so much for this interview. I love talking to you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I have to stop.
Yay, thank you, Maria, for that episode. That was different and I really, really enjoyed that. And I really hope it helped with your PhD as well. So, special announcement. I thought I'd do a giveaway because it's my birthday. So what you have to do is at any point on any episode on this podcast, screenshot you listening to it on your phone and then post it on any social, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and tag me in it. I, both my personal and Turner Syndrome Talking Tea, although with Twitter there's only one account. And I've linked all the accounts down below, so you can see there. But make sure you tag me in it, because then I can see it, and then you'll be put in a random hat, and then I'll pick the winner at random. So this competition, this giveaway, is not exclusive to the UK. I thought I'd do it worldwide. Yeah, this is quite fun. So I'm going to be picking the winner on the 10th of April, and I'll notify them, I'll tag them. Yeah, I just want to say that this gift is not sponsored or not gifted. I don't even know if I have to say this, but it's not either of those things. It's not hashtag sponsored, not hashtag gifted. It's coming from me, my personal account, which is fine. I want to do this because I thought it'd be quite fun to do. So yeah, tag me listening to the to any episode, tag both my personal and my Instagram and Turner Syndrome Talking Tea, and I will pick a winner. So next week we have Caroline talking to us about her experience of Turner's. So I will see you then, and have a great week.